listening to The Burn. Gaming stuff, blazing fast.
Welcome to a new episode of The Burn, a podcast about gaming done blazing fast. I'm Aviv Manoach.
And I'm Yehuda Chalfon.
Hello, dear Yehuda. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Good. The world is on fire, but I'm fine. I feel like I'm the dog in the meme, like sits in the house.
It's fine.
I'm fine.
At least you have good weather, unlike what's going on here.
Yes, we have 5 degrees here in the Leeds, and I like it.
Both your country and my country changed to daylight savings, and I hate daylight savings because it's not like daylight saving doesn't actually make days longer, like what people argue, but it does give the impression that the day ends later, and it annoys me because like it's 6 o'clock. Well, it was 6 o'clock, and there is light outside, and I want to feel like 6 o'clock is late. It's the end of my day. Yeah. I can finish things, and when it's light outside, I need to work still because it's light. It's still a day, so that's why I like it dark earlier.
When we move to British saving time, because we are British, we don't just daylight saving time, we're British saving time, summertime.
No, it's Britain daylight savings.
No, it's British summertime, actually.
Oh, British summertime? Okay.
Yeah, BST. It actually makes the sun rise later. So right. Before you go to BST, the sun starts to rise at 5:30 in the north-ish here where I am, and the further north you go, the sun rises earlier, but when you move to BST, it starts to go up again at 6, so at least nicer.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. That's the same. It's interesting that the Hebrew definition is closer to the British one than the actual daylight savings, because we also say like summertime. And then everyone thinks that's the default for some reason, that summer is the default. No, it's not. Stop it.
Who cares? Just give us one time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't care either way. Just stop with the change. And I know that most of Europe is going to cancel daylight savings in a couple of years, and the US as well. So hopefully we're moving away from this.
We don't talk about the US, that every fucking state do whatever they want.
Yeah.
The worst are the Australians. They have like the weirdest time zones, and even inside the time zones, they have different time zones, and different places go to summertime differently or not at all, and it's confusing as fuck.
Yep. Well, that wasn't about games, so let's talk about games. But first, an opening. We are The Burn. We are a podcast about gaming done blazing fast. In each episode of the show, we discuss a game that we liked or disliked, but usually liked, and then some news or other topics. I'm on the wrong show notes, actually. So let me move on to the right channel. Now, I just uploaded our last episode late, so I needed the show notes. So you can subscribe to the podcast. You can find everything at theburn.live. You can also support the show by going to support.theburn.live. You can find our affiliate links there, and then some sponsored activity that will earn us money, and you will get rewards as well. And you can join our Discord community at discord.theburn.live. And that's that for the opening. We are going to talk about a game called Chained Echoes. It's a game that came out last year. I first watched it on YouTube, and I was very excited by it. And then I told all my friends that like JRPGs about it, because it's a J-like RPG. We should actually start using, you wrote it in the show notes, we should start using the J-like a moniker for games that are not actually Japanese by Japanese developers, because there are a lot of games that by non-Japanese developers, I won't say Western because whatever that means anymore, but not Japanese developer that use J-like RPG mechanics. So this is one of them. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You'd have played it more than me because I played Zero. I just watched it. So yeah, go ahead and tell us about Chained Echoes.
So yeah, it's a game.
It's like a game, said, yes, it's a game.
Yeah, yeah, like Kaviv said, it's fairly new. It was released in December of 2022 or something like that. It's made by a company that really loves old school J-like RPGs. And it shows. The game is vibing all over Chrono Cross and Chrono Trigger and the Final Fantasies, the old ones until 6 and all that fun and games. 16-bit JRPG, they called it in the website, if I remember correctly. Never quite understand what is 16-bit RPG, but sure.
Is it just the resolution of the, like, how many pixels go into a tile of the graphic? It's a meaningless designation those days when you splash the game on a 4K monitor.
So the game itself is, the plot itself is quasi generic, but it's very fun. The game takes place in stop moving my text around. In Volandis, which is a made up country, and there is a big ass war that goes on forever between three nations. They just love killing each other. The tutorial of the game just throws you right in the middle of the action. You play two dudes. They are pilots of the mecha suits of awesomeness, so they can go further than any other company to conquer the other land and destroy their amazing gem of awesomeness. There are better descriptions, but it basically feels like the most generic opening ever. One of the things I liked about this opening, you take your character around the airship and talk to NPCs, and one of them asks you, what should I do if I encounter the army, the enemy soldiers? I'm very afraid. So you have two options so far to tell him. One is fight them and take as much as you can with you, and the other one is run away. I would do it. So, and it actually matters what you tell him, because if you tell him take as much as you can with you, and you meet him later during the invasion and he's dying and he said, I did what you told me to do. I took as much of them as I could before I'm dead. And if you tell him to run away, you find him in a different place. Like, I was a coward, I ran away. So it actually makes sense.
So he's a crybaby anyway.
Yeah, but he's like, I did what you told me to. I killed all of them and now I'm dead. So it's like, it matters. It already shows you the choices you make in the game actually matters in the game, which is amazing, because in a lot of games, a lot of choices you make are just so you can make a choice, and makes you feel like you did something, while most of the time it has no effect whatsoever.
The illusion of choice.
Yeah, so the illusion of choice is actually something that I digress a bit for the Diablo 4 beta that I played over the weekend. So there is a first 10 to 15 minutes of the game, there is a choice you need to make, which is basically write your scene on a piece of cedar and throw it into the fire. And you can choose fear, anger, whatever, greed, all of that. And one of them is pretend to write something and throw it into the fire. And it doesn't really matter. There is only one dialogue later that the guy that you talk to, he says, oh, so I guess you chose that thing. And he knows what you chose. But there was an article today that says the designer of Diablo 4 say why it is matter, because it shows you how important the religion is to the... So yeah, this is completely the illusion of choice, while in Chain of Echoes, Chained Echoes, it actually matters whatever you do. And I like it. And later on, during the game, you make more choices, and they actually matter, which is nice. So there is a point where I'll go back to it. As long as you the more you go along in the game, the more characters you meet and they join your party, at least the company of people you can choose to form your party, let's say it like that. And fairly in the beginning of the game, you meet the woman in a red dress. Later on, you learn more about her, but initially you think about her as the woman in the red dress, which is she's a thief, and you can choose what items to steal and things like that. And then one of her quest lines is optional: go into that building and use the key to and get access to the building, and you take the key from a drunk person, you go to the house, and you steal money from the table, and then you realize there is a sick girl in the house, and you have a decision to give back the money or take it with you. And later on in the game, when they are looking for that character, they say, ah, she stole from that guy, all the choices you made if you decided to steal from them.
Yeah.
And then you she burglarized that house, but she left the money. So all the small decision you make actually comes back to the game, which is amazing, and I really liked it. There are a lot of characters that joins you throughout the game. I mean, a lot. It's a JRPG. At some point, you have like a small army of people that follows you around. And each one of them joins you for their own reasons, and they all gather at some point because of set reasons, which is fine. I liked the story. It was nicely written. I haven't gone way into deep. I think I am 10 to 15 hours into the game. The game is about 40 hours, so I'm about third in. I liked it. They did change a lot of things in the mechanics of JRPGs. There isn't a set mechanic for JRPGs, but usually you grind things, you gain levels, you get more equipment, you grind more, you advance, and so on. So
yeah,
forth.
But then for newer contemporary J-like RPGs, there are two those schools, let's call it that. Those that try to go full retro, including the grinding. So I put there are things like Battle Chasers, Night War, which is a very good game for a lot of reasons, but the grinder is really annoying. Or Ni No Kuni 2 is actually a JRPG, but still, very grindy game. And then you have the other school that actual JRPG also try to follow lately, which is we try to keep the illusion of random encounter, but have anti-grind mechanics. And Chain Echoes kind of fall into that. Like, you have random encounter, you have a lot of, like, wild monster and stuff, even very unique encounter, but they do things to elevate the annoyance of grinding those battles for XP and item and stuff. So, for example, and that's very unique to this game, all your resources recharge every combat. Your spell points, your HP, everything, it's combat by combat basis, so you only need to worry about everything that's going on in a set encounter. You don't need to worry about, I was traveling in a dungeon for an hour and I depleted everything, and I want to go back and rest. So that, I think, is a very good decision they made.
Yeah, and I liked it that you don't have to spend time in going back to life and mana points and all the skill points and all that stuff. And they also changed the way you level up. You don't have XP, you get skill points.
Yeah,
and you can upgrade your skills with it, and you have the more skill points you spend throughout the more skill new skills you buy throughout the game, the more skills are available for you later. So better attacks, better passive skills, which are basically more health, more defense, things like that. And you can upgrade each one of them to other levels, which is always nice.
It reminds me a bit of how advancement works in tabletop Out by the Apocalypse games, by that you have a basic tier of abilities you can get or upgrades you can get, and then after you spend a set amount of those, you have like 10 or something, you get the next tier, which is some of them is just upgraded abilities, but some of them are new abilities that are just more powerful and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I like.
One more thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One more thing they changed in the combat, which I really liked. It's the I forgot what it's called. There is a bar that, as long as you are in the green, you're dealing. It's a like a traffic light bar. It starts in the yellow and then.
Yeah, it's sort
green,
of a momentum thing.
Yeah, and if you keep in the green, you deal more damage and you suffer less damage. And if you go overcharge and you go to the red, you sustain more damage from the enemies, which is amazing because I overexerted myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there are skills that you do throughout the combat that either gains you more higher in the momentum or lower in the momentum. So you have to play around with this. Will I just defend this turn so I go back to the green so I will take less damage? And then I will have enough for the next big attack, so I will not do less damage because I'm in the red and things like that, which is quite an interesting approach to the battle, which is kind of annoying because if you play in normal or higher difficulty level, the enemies are basically damage sponges. So you have this lovely little tactic that goes back and forth, but in the end, you are... still fighting against a battle a damage sponge, so you try to keep yourself in the green for longer because the combats at some point start to get boring. And the first mini boss, I don't quite remember if it's a boss or a mini boss, you fight against the Kraken, and he has three tentacles, and each tentacle has a different name. One is the healer, one is the attack, and one is the magic. So if you don't kill the healing one first, no matter how many times you will kill the other tentacles, you will just bring them back to life. So always read all the names of all the characters in the enemy side, because you might just die because you killed the wrong character first. So it adds, and some of the attacks affect everyone, some of the attacks attack only one person, and I enjoyed the tactic of it. It's a nice mechanic, and I love that they kept to the old school JRPGs, where you basically have a party, it's turn-based, and you choose whatever you want to attack, and you have on the top right side of the screen the initiative order. And now more and more games are looks more action-like and things like that, which is sometimes nice, sometimes isn't. But here it's like a proper old-school JRPG. I liked it a lot.
I like the sort of balance, like I started saying, for taking that JRPG formula and updating it. I like contemporary JRPGs more than I like old school ones. Obviously Persona 5, but Persona 5 has its problems as well. It's not a total like contemporary game in that regard. So I like seeing layers and layers of new mechanics on top of older ones. Octopath Traveler, for example, that just got the sequel as well, has a really, really, really good combat system. but they didn't do anything about the grind. And the entire game is random encounters and having to grind to get XP and level up the characters. I think they improved it in 2. I still yet to play it, and I need, because everyone is saying how amazing that game is. So that's something I want to try. But back to Chained Echoes. So one of the things that's also nice about the leveling system is that the character does have their own unique skill, but you're not technically a class until you get a class emblem, and then you technically can put the class emblem on whoever you want. But it's obvious that some characters should be specific class and not others, because of the combination between our class skills and their like character skills and stuff like that. But it's a nice system. Like, I don't know how actually flexible it is, but I still like, maybe it's an illusion of choice in that regard, of who to give the class to. I don't know.
We'll see. I need to get there further in the game to give a proper...
By, 10 hours, you should have at least 2 class emblems.
Yeah, but I haven't really played that much. We changed them around to give you like a proper...
Got you. And other than that, the final thing I will say is that they do the thing with newer sort of retro-inspired game by having a lot of meta commentary. So there are just meme monsters in the game. I don't want to spoil if you haven't seen it or other people haven't seen it, but there are parts of the game that are like, wink, wink, if you played other JRPG, we put it here for you. Otherwise, you don't understand why this weird thing is. Had with Final Fantasy VII Remake. There's like the Hell House, which is obviously a meme, which I wasn't aware. And people on Twitter explained it to me. So I like those sort of that. It's sort of, we have a history, a heritage of games, and it's I like the self-references. I like it.
Yeah, they're nice.
Cool. Anything else? Yes. I'm looking forward to playing it when I get back to playing games.
Yeah. So yeah, it's if you loved all JRPGs, give it a go. I like the plot, it's well written. It has like techy, cringy stuff, because let's face it, it's old school RPG, and it has self commentary, which is fun. The tactic will stay the same throughout the game, I read the wrong thing. It's part of Game Pass. Game Pass is always fun, so if you're already in Game Pass, go for it. It's free. Kinda. I mean, what? Yeah, it's $1 for 3 months or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know about the 3 months though. That's like if you get the deal, but you can get $1 for a month at the very least.
Yeah, you can cancel it every month and then you just redo it for $1 or something stupid like that.
Yep.
I liked it. And it's about 40 to 50 hours, so it's not a very long JRPG.
Yeah. Average.
Go for it.
I'm probably going to buy it on PlayStation and play it on that. It's also
because the PlayStation doesn't have it on the PlayStation Plus thingy Bob.
Oh, I also don't really care, but it's also even if you don't get it on Game Pass, it's a $25 game. It's not full price on it.
Yeah.
By the way, I was going through the website of the game and then going to Wikipedia. As far as I understand, a single person made this. It's credited to Matthias Linda.
Yeah, I read it and I was like, is it a person or like
company name. It's not the company name. The company name, if you go to the press kit, it's Arc Ariel, which is probably something in Germany, in German. But yeah, the person is Matthias, and it looks like the credit team and repeating collaborators, Matthias Linda, director and artist, and then there is a composer that did the music. So
yeah,
Matthias Linda built and draw the entire game. I don't know what to say.
Good for him.
You rock, dude.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So that's the game, and we're almost out of time as well. And that's good, because other than one piece of news that you'd have brought, I looked at the news. I saw that all of the news is bad stuff, and I don't have the energy to talk about it.
So, the only news that happened is Warhammer 40K got a 10th edition, which is amazing. And this time, every time they make a new version, they say, yeah, this will be a very easier to approach version of the game. The tactics will stay the same. Everything will be the same, but it will be easier to play the game. It will be released in summer. Nobody knows what summer is. I mean, it's the UK. We have like 1 week of summer anyway. But we don't know what summer is. Summer. So, yay. What they do say, there will be the core rulebook that will be released, will probably cost about 50 or 60 pounds or something stupid like that, which makes sense. It's like a big fucking book. But all the army rules will be released for free. So that's a big advantage, because usually what Games Workshop do, they release one core rulebook that has enough of you to start playing, usually with the generic classes, which is the Ultra Space Marines and the Tyranids.
You mean and armies?
What?
You said classes. You mean armies?
Yeah, armies. I meant to say factions, actually. But yeah, I got yeah. So you play different armies. So usually it's the Ultra Space Marines and Space Marines, not specifically Ultra Space Marines. The Space Marines and Tyranids. And then every few months they release more and more books to help you get more and more rules about it for the other armies. But now they say the army rules will be released on day one or very close to day one, depends on real life, which is will be awesome, because you can buy the core rule book and then you can just adjust your existing army if you don't have the Space Marines and the Tyranids. I have the Battle Sisters. I didn't talk about it in this podcast, I talked about it in the other podcast. I have an army of the Adeptus Sosteria, the Battle Sisters. And so I can download these rules, buy the core rulebook and play. All your miniatures will be valid. The point system might change. They usually change the point system, so you might need to either buy more miniatures or use less of the miniatures to keep your points army. But that's easy, adjustable. It's not like you need to buy everything from scratch just to get your army back. And let's be honest, the books is one of the major ways how Games Workshop makes money, because a lot of people buy one or two armies, stick with them for the entire edition of the game. So every few years they release a new edition of the game. So you have to buy the new books, you have to buy new stuff, you want to buy the new campaign books, you want to buy all the added books and things like that. So this is how they make the money, because not a lot of people buy infinite amount of plastic, which is very expensive. It's a very expensive hobby, yep. Warhammer. I think around June-ish, there will be the release. Probably they will make a big event out of it in Warhammer World, which is in Nottingham, UK, which is about 2 hours away from me, so yay. So I might go. It could be nice. It's a lovely place. Most of the people that plays Warhammer are nice, so I'm kind of looking forward to the 10th edition, because what they did nice with the previous edition that was released, which is Horus Heresy, they kind of went back to 7th edition, so it's quasi 7.5 edition.
That's too complicated. So,
yeah, but they took the cool stuff from that version and combined it with the cool stuff of 9th edition, so they have like a more streamlined approach. So if they will take what they did for Horus Heresy and will do it for the 10th edition, so they will go back a bit and go forward a bit and take all the good stuff from everything, I think it will be a much more approachable game, because the tactics will stay the same. You have to align things to maybe draw distance and things like that. But now they say your entire army rules will be one A4 page, and you can buy a deck of cards, and each card will tell you exactly what are the things per your unit, so you don't have to bring your 100 page book and flip through it to find every one of your units or every one of the rules of you chose from your stratagems and things like that. You can just have one A4 with some cards of your units you're going to play, and that's it. So I'm really looking forward to see how it will be done.
Very cool.
And
As you had me remind you last week, this is not game burning. This is the burn, and we need to finish.
Yeah, I know. And it was 2 weeks ago. We record every other week.
I said last time. I didn't say last week. Anyway, to finish up, now that I'm going to say it, I don't know if by the time this is this episode will upload, the Kickstarter will still be up. But anyway, our dear friend Iran has today launched his new game on Kickstarter. It's called Caregiver, and Caregiver is a single player tabletop RPG. In which you play as a healing spirit, try to keep a party of adventurers alive. It's very colorful, and I already backed it. And
me too.
Cool. And so I don't know if the Kickstarter will actually be up when you hear this, but if not, you can go to the page, and then Iran will probably have links to find it when it become like public launching and stuff. So that's Caregiver, and beside that, I'm working on a tabletop game as well. It's called Godflesh. My party started our campaign preparation this Saturday. My dog is hurting herself, and like she's eating her own leg and crying about it.
Dogs are smart.
Yes. So yeah, Godflesh started playtesting. I'm updating on Twitter. I put a link to a bit of the info that I posted. So you're welcome to follow that as well. That's it. This is all we have on the show today. Thank you for listening. You can find us online on Twitter. I'm at Isel and Yuda is at Yushuv. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, comment, and leave your reviews on your preferred listening app. You can find the links at TheBurn.live. And our opening theme was created by Enderco with vocals by Fishy Twitch, both on Twitter as well. Thank you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Bye.